This is Confronting Christianity. I'm Kyle Worley, and I'm joined by my co-host, Rebecca McLaughlin. Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm really proud that you can actually pronounce my name these days,
well,
Kyle.
Well, you know, we started this podcast with you making sure, or making it clear that I was incorrectly pronouncing your name. But we're now, you know, not only have we had two great seasons of Confronting Christianity, most importantly, I know how to say your last name now.
Well, and we've met in person, which yes, wasn't true at the beginning.
Wasn't that strange? I mean, the internet is such a weird place. But one of the benefits of it was just the opportunity to get to work with you prior to meeting you. And then when we met, it was like, oh, I know this person, but I'm just meeting this person in the flesh for the first time. So yeah, well, you know, was that meeting a complete, like, were you like, wow, he's a lot shorter than I thought he was? Because you were taller than I thought you were. I was like, oh, hey, Rebecca's taller than I thought she was.
You weren't shorter than I expected. You were, the outfit you were wearing.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't ready.
In what way?
It was... Well, just because I remember you telling me it's basically your signature uh-huh. outfit, yep, but it was right. Like all black and then very bright shoes.
Yes, that is.
And I wasn't ready.
That is what I wear.
I should have had a trigger warning or something.
That is, if I had a clerical collar, it would be this outfit. I don't have one as a Baptist, but this is, these are my vestments. This is what I wear. I wear the same exact thing every single day. I wear a black shirt, black jeans, and I wear very brightly colored shoes.
Yeah, it's very special.
It's wow, you don't like it? I'm really
I love it, Kyle. You do you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, we are not here to talk about Rebecca's opinions on my clothes. We're actually here to...
Which are many.
Evidently.
Legion. Which are legion.
I had no idea. And that's actually why I'm leaving the show. Hard turn.
Gosh.
Rebecca has been just behind the scenes. She's been mocking my attire for the whole of our show. And I just said, enough's enough. I'm out of here. But no, I am leaving the show. Sorry, audience.
That was like the roughest. Oh my goodness.
Hey, I don't have to worry about segues on Confronting Christianity longer, right? This is like, this is just like senioritis. I am leaving the show, but let's not start there. We're going to get there. There's going to be a payoff. Maybe we should just title this episode Na 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 Goodbye. You know that song? Na 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 Hey 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 Goodbye.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But does it have goodbye in it? I thought it was other things.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they say hey, 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 hey first. So I don't know. It's kind of mixed signals, you know?
Okay.
No. Okay. Why did we start this podcast, Rebecca? Because you and I both had and have like a lot of other responsibilities in our life. It wasn't like you and I were just like drumming the table waiting for another thing to do. But we launched this podcast. Just like, why though? Why have we done this over the last couple of seasons?
Well, if I recall, you had the bright idea that I think initially that you wanted me to do this podcast.
I did.
And I was right. Oh gosh, I go on plenty of podcasts, but the idea of just running one seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Your first email back was like, not interested.
Yeah. And not because, I mean, obviously I love the things that we've been talking about and I'm like fully converted now. Mm-hmm. You've done your work, Kyle.
Thank you.
But when you then emailed me back a few months later and said, hey, how about you and I do one together? And then I thought, oh, okay. So I'm not going to have to manage all the things, but instead you very tactically sold it to me as we would do it together. And it's been fantastic. I think one of the things that has been really fun for me is doing this with someone who lives in a totally different part of the States, who has a different background to me, who can't, like, there's a lot of stuff that you understand that I don't understand, and some things that I'm experienced with that you're less experienced with. Like, I think when we did our first episode together, we had some weird metaphor of like the right arm and the left arm. Mm-hmm. One of our right arms was sort of beefed up more than the other, and the other person was kind of the other way around. So I've really enjoyed talking about a whole bunch of things with someone who has absolutely the same core beliefs. Yeah. And, you know, I think our hearts beat as one in many, in many respects. Yeah. But that we do sometimes come at things from different angles or have different experiences to bring to bear.
That's right.
On these kinds of conversations. And I think the more that I chat with friends here who are, when I say here, I'm in Cambridge, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and one of the things I love most in the world is getting to talk with some people who don't yet know Jesus and have questions, yep. And hearing the things that they're wanting to press into that then sort of shapes the kinds of things that I want to think about, just to have more of a dialogue format to talk about some of these things where,
that's right.
you know, I love just in the privacy of my own home or in a local coffee shop, talking with people, hearing their questions, responding to them, sharing like, here are things I know, here are things I don't know, here's how I feel about this, I'm curious to hear how you feel about it. For those who we can't sit down with in a coffee shop, mm-hmm. to be able to have this conversation that others can join in with has been really, really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly my thoughts. And I remember when we were talking about starting the show, we were working on a tagline together and we came up with a tagline that still remains for the show, which is hard questions faithfully explored. And we've done that. I mean, the last two seasons, man, I look at back at the episode topics and titles and the questions that we've explored together. And I think that has been the heartbeat of the show, which is like, we're not, you know, if you go back and listen to our episodes, you don't get like a series of answers that you can download on hard-hitting questions. You get two people, often with another person, trying to wrestle through like, man, these are complicated questions. We have not picked easy questions for which there are easy ready-made answers. We've picked hard questions and we've faithfully explored them. And in the process, you introduced me to like the most interesting friendship and network group in the history of people. I had read your books and heard you talk about all of your interesting people that you know and your friend group and your network of acquaintances and people you'd work with.
You made me sound like such a weird.
No, I'm just saying like
your network of acquaintances.
No, like yeah. I had heard you write and talk and be like, yeah, I know this person who's a professor here and they do this. And I was like, she cannot have this kind of wide-reaching, diverse group of friends in her network who will come on this podcast and actually be like, and then you started telling me like, oh, I've got this friend. I'd love to have them on the show. And I was like, golly, is this about to become like the rotating door of Rebecca's acquaintances and friends? But all of your friends are like the coolest, smartest people, the kindest people. I mean, I was just like, you would hype somebody up and I'd be like, I have never heard of that person. They are not on the Christian conference circuit. And I'd be like, this is going to be a total disaster. Sorry for the past guests we've had. But you far exceeded expectations every time. And so like, this has been so fun for me because when we started the podcast, it was like, great, me and Rebecca are going to wrestle through some hard questions. And then as the show matured and developed and we brought on other guests, it was just a consistent sense of, wow, like it's been a very significant learning environment for me to be able to ask questions of people and think through issues. And I feel so high-handed and arrogant thinking that we were going to launch this podcast and the best responses to these questions were going to come from you and I. And lo and behold, as we've interacted with other brothers and sisters in Christ in a range of disciplines, I have found over and over again that the most substantive things that have been said on the show have not been said by you or by me, but by people that we've brought on who have just said, yeah. Hey, would you consider this for a moment?
Yeah. And honestly, I think for myself, as I think about what like, you know, tiny little piece in the massive puzzle that the Lord is continually working out in the world, mm-hmm. you know, where is my little niche? And it's sort of in many ways being a prophet for the people who have very important and interesting things to say, but that other people haven't yet heard about. And sort of trying to find those people, hear what they're saying, sometimes translate it for a more popular audience, sometimes just like grab them and say, hey, come on this podcast. I want your voice to get out there. That is one of the things that thrills and delights me most in life, to be honest. Ever since Jesus's female followers were the first to witness his resurrection, women have been sharing the message of Jesus with those who have never heard it. In his new book, 10 Women Who Changed the World, Seminary President Daniel L. Akin tells the stories of 10 women in particular who were called by God to serve as missionaries all across the world. As I've studied missions and read missionary biographies over my lifetime, Akin writes, I've been amazed and inspired by the large number of women who left home, families, comfort and safety in obedience to Jesus and his command to go to the nations with his gospel. Their number is far greater than most realize. You can find out about a handful of these stories in 10 Women Who Changed the World, which is available wherever books are sold.
It's been a blast. It's been a blast, but dot, dot, dot.
So why are you leaving me, Kyle? Why am I leaving? Tell me.
Why am I leaving? Well, we wanted to record this episode because we didn't want just like the next season to kick off and it's just Rebecca. And the internet has a way of taking anything and reading the very worst version of it possible. And so Rebecca and I have really enjoyed doing this. The intention was never for me to bounce out of the show, but as like life and ministry has changed and as the show has taken on a more pronounced flavor, it just became clearer and clearer that like the original vision that I had for this podcast that Rebecca did not think that she really could handle, like she can handle easily and she can do far better. And as my life was changing and some of the ministry dynamics that I was in were changing and some of the just the opportunities for the Train the Church podcast network were changing, it became clearer and clearer that it was a good time for me to step away so that I can focus on some of the other projects we have going on for Train the Church. I want to give more time and attention in my ministry to the pastoring of my local church, and I want to give some time and attention to some really big projects that we have coming out for Train the Church more generally. You know, we're launching our fifth podcast in the fall, Tiny Theologians, with Amy Kate Gannett and her crew, and it's like, it's really fantastic. It's an incredible resource. And we want to continue to launch new projects and new ventures to resource the church effectively. And so it was just the perfect balance of seeing Rebecca really take the ownership that I knew she could really take over this show and getting to meet her wide circle of people that are just incredible guests to have on, and feeling like at the same time, like there was an opening for me to give a little bit more of my focus to fewer things. And so that's why I'm stepping away. It's not because I don't believe in the show. I do believe in the show. I've believed in it for a long time. It took a couple, really about a year and a half, 2 years to get this show off, to get it started. And I'm thrilled to see it out there, and it's doing exactly what we had hoped it would. And that's a mercy and grace of the Lord. And I'm excited for the role I got to play in it. And it could not be in safer hands than in what has been my co-host on Confronting Christianity, but moving forward will now be the host of Confronting Christianity. And so I'm excited. It's been really fun. And like, I'm a huge fan of the show. Like I'm going to listen to every episode because I really, like we said early on, I think there's a lot of podcasts that are kind of in the apologetic space that just don't have the tone that I'm looking for as a listener and as a learner. And so I'm so glad that I've gotten to kind of put my fingerprints on the culture of this show. And you know, like I told Rebecca early on in this, like I approached Rebecca as a fan and as somebody who had profited from her work. And it's been so cool to transition from somebody who's just kind of like a reader, an observer, a fan, a beneficiary of Rebecca's work to a colleague and to a friend. And I really am excited about the future of the show because I think, and Rebecca, I've told you this offline, and I think I've said it here on the show, but I just think you have a really unique perspective on many of these big questions. And I think it's really helpful and beneficial for the church to hear from you on these things and to hear from the kind of people that you spend time learning from and learning with. And so I'm really excited to get to continue to be a listener of the show, even if I'm no longer hosting it. Maybe Rebecca will let me sneak on, you know, like a cameo appearance in a future future episode. I would be honored to get that email. But I don't want to, you know, count my chickens before they hatch or anything. So that's why I'm leaving the show. It's not personal, Rebecca. It wasn't about the clothes thing. That was all a joke. So nobody on Twitter come after Rebecca for, you know, clothes shaming me or anything. She, you know, it's all in good jest and good fun. But yeah, I mean, honestly, sister, like I told you, I'm excited about the future of the show. You know this, right?
Yeah. And I think sort of last words, the brother-sister dynamics that you and Jen and JT have modeled through Knowing Faith for years at this point, and both, you know, explicitly talked about and just implicitly demonstrated that actually, hey, men and women who love Jesus can serve well alongside each other without any complications or difficulties or whatever. Like we're actually in many ways designed eternally, in fact, to be each other's brothers and sisters. And I think there is something really precious and special about that, and the ability to be a little piece of modeling that as well, which I hope all our listeners have enjoyed and will continue to enjoy in their own lives as well. Like, who could you discuss theology with? Could be men and women in your life. Doesn't have to be gender specific at all times. I think that's been a really special piece of this as well.
I agree. And I think that it's cool because as the network grows, you know, like we just launched Starting Place with Elizabeth Woodson this spring.
And so great.
With Tiny Theologians coming out, like as our network has grown, it's been really interesting to just see the way that these resources complement one another to really address issues of discipleship from a variety of perspectives. Mm. And I'm really grateful to God for that. You know, I feel honored to get to play a part in this, and I'm so proud that we have these voices all together, working together. They're, you know, I really do. And I don't say this to inflate Train the Church or Knowing Faith or Confronting Christianity or Rebecca or me, but it's a really rare thing in this moment that we're in. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's a really rare thing for men and women who share kind of a confessional core together of the Christian faith, but are very different from one another, to come together and say, you know what, let's try to engage issues of consequence in a way that's curious, convictional, and charitable. And it's just a cool thing to be a part of. And it's one of my favorite things about what Confronting Christianity has been these last couple of seasons. And I know that that's what it's going to continue to be. And so I'm really excited about it. And I'm honored, honestly, sister, I'm honored that you jumped in with this. You know, I know I bring, it took a lot of me being like, we can do this. But I really thank you for trusting me with it. And, you know, I really respect you immensely. And I'm so excited about the future of the show. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
No, back at you, as they say.
As they say.
Do they say that?
I think they do. I mean, it's certainly...
Somebody does.
It's certainly an American colloquialism, and I'm glad to see that it cuts across the pond as well. I have gotten so many messages from people who have absolutely castigated me for my lack of knowledge and literacy around the culture that you come from. They have not been.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Wow. I think that sometimes people don't understand that some of that feigned ignorance is for the personality flavoring of the show. I think they do think that I am just a walking, bumbling, culturally insensitive fool. And I want to tell them, but I don't want it to sound like I'm backtracking. It's like, no, guys, I'm trying to make humor. Like that's, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not as ignorant as maybe it seems that I am. But, you know, alas, that it is what it is. Rebecca, let me just end with this. When you think about the future of the show, what are you excited about? Like, so like we've said the thing of how we got here. I'm leaving. You look towards the fall. You look towards what you want to be doing in season 3 of Confronting Christianity. I know you're still nailing down guests and episode topics, but just kind of like, when you think about questions you want to explore with other Christians, just kind of give us a sense of like, here are some things that are top of mind for you that maybe we can get interested in as we look towards the next season of Confronting Christianity as listeners.
Yeah, funnily enough, I've actually been thinking people first for next season. There's actually a decently long list of people who I really want to hit up for this to discuss a whole range of topics and a whole range of personal experiences, like a friend of mine who became a Christian from a Jewish background when he was an undergrad at Harvard. He actually sort of, he'd become an atheist in his teenage years, and then he went to Harvard and he became convinced about Jesus, and he's now a professor at Harvard. So that's going to be a really fun interview. I want to talk with a friend who recently published a book on singleness, which I think is an incredibly important topic, not only pastorally and not only for those of our brothers and sisters who are single, but actually, the more I think about it, the more I think that a our impoverished view and theological kind of understanding, grasp on singleness is messing up our whole picture to where sexual ethics is actually not looking like the beautiful thing that it in fact is, Christian sexual ethics, because we've actually, one piece of the puzzle in our theology has kind of been shriveled up, and so the whole puzzle isn't fitting together. I want to talk to a number of friends who are science professors on a range of topics, actually, including the resurrection and whether it happened. I want to talk to a friend who is a history professor who recently became a Christian in the context of being a history professor. So there are a lot of really fun people coming down the line for next season, and I can't wait to chat with them.
I love it. I love it. Honestly, it's been so fun. Is it okay if I do the rollout of the show just to like,
please,
farewell?
We got to hear the grace and peace one last time.
All right. Well, Rebecca, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Now I'm not going to do the benediction. I thought about it for a second. Hey, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion the last couple of seasons. I cannot wait as a listener and fan for season 3 of Confronting Christianity coming out this fall. If you are looking to find Confronting Christianity, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You should go follow Rebecca McLaughlin. She's always doing cool stuff online over there. If you already listened to Confronting Christianity season 1 and season 2, you've already listened to the backlog, then did you check out the most recent episode they just did with Rachel Gilson and J.D. Greer asking some really big questions about sexual ethics? If you missed it, you should go check it out. And if you've already checked that out and you've listened to all the other episodes, go check out our sister show, Family Discipleship Podcast, Starting Place with Elizabeth Woodson. Or if you haven't listened to it, you could also check out Knowing Faith. I'll still be over there for future seasons. We'd love to see you and hear from you and have you hear from us. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion. We'll see you, or Rebecca will see you, in the third season of Confronting Christianity coming out here in August. Grace and peace.